morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the often imitated, never duplicated Power Hour Radio Show. I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman. If you're new to the show, welcome. We think we have a show that's worth your time, a broadcast that is worth your time. Did you ever hear about the ventilators up in New York? Did you ever hear about the nurse that went around? Well, if you have, you're going to meet her today, Erin. Erin Marie Olszewski is her name. She's a hero. We're going to get to her in a minute, and her new book and her story is fantastic. And I think you'll learn a little something. Also, later on, Dr. Sherry Rogers, one of the foremost medical minds in the country, thinks a little different outside the medical industrial complex, certainly, but that's one of the reasons that we love her. We want independent thought. And so she'll be here to talk about how you can help your body prevent, be strong, support your body so it can handle some of these viruses and not be a victim. We don't want to be victims. We want power. And that's the name of our show, the Power Hour. So, and we also have John from Southeast Texas he's coming on first. He called in, or we called him. One of our listeners hooked us up, and he has quite a story. We have talked about these masks a lot. I think it's a big issue. I think the discussion about masks is a precursor to the discussion about vaccines. You know, if they're going to force a vaccine, they got to first force you to wear a mask. And what are masks? What are they doing? Let's have some logical discussion about this. John from Southeast Texas kind of took it to heart and did some things on his own, and we're going to learn about him today. John from Southeast Texas, welcome to the Power Hour.
Glad to be a part of it. As you were saying, I took it upon myself. I'm just a nobody. But I do have some contacts. I've been living in this area for over 70 years. And I became very perplexed as this thing evolved. And I saw the erosion of our civil and constitutional rights. And so I started doing a little digging and found out that I never did wear a mask. I am not going to be compliant. I'm not going to surrender my rights to the perpetrators of fear. And that's what they're doing. They're promoting fear, and they're trying to intimidate the public. And it's really perplexing to me to see the stress that the people are being put on, not only in my nation, but throughout this country. And so as I began to do a little investigation, I found out that there is no law in Texas that supports these mandates. They cannot legally mandate anything unless it's been brought up in the process and been declared as law. So therefore, I made it a point to call the corporate office of one of our businesses here in the area to make sure that they knew the laws of Texas, their corporate offices in Austin. And because I do business at one of their facilities not far from my house. And I want to make sure that I had all of my ducks in a row. And this is what everybody needs to do. People need to become aware of their rights being jeopardized and eroded. And this is just one step, the first step in the parade, as far as I'm concerned. And so as I visited with the very, very cordial individual at the corporate office, I explained to them, I asked him, I said, do you understand that there is not a law in Texas that supports these mandates that are being implemented? And I want to know if your store managers throughout the state are aware of this as well. And she was very, very nice, and she said, yes, sir, we understand. And she went as far as to say and question me, well, sir, have you had a problem at are you in a facility there that has given you trouble? I said, no. I'm wanting to make sure that that your managers understand, because I do not wear a mask, and when I go in there, I know what my rights are as a citizen. And she said, oh, no. She says, all of our managers are very aware. So anyway, I said all that to say this. I go in there. I do my shopping. And because it's required under this mandate, I do have a strategy. And so I hang my little mask on my ears. I walk through the door. And it's really kind of humorous. I went in this morning, and as soon as I walked through the door, that one of the employees, a lady, started yelling at me, sir, you've got to put that mask on. And I turned and started walking to her. Now, this is the humorous part of it. As I started walking towards her, she started backstepping very abruptly, and you would think I would have had a disease, or, you know, I was a leper, because, I mean, this poor woman, she had fear in her eyes, and I told her, I said, I have a condition, and I cannot wear this mask. And this is what I want to drive home. This is the law. You cannot be required to wear a mask, and if they ask you what your condition is, you don't have to answer, because when they ask you, they're up for a suit, because they cannot inquire as to what kind of condition you have or to the details, because they're not a medical professional, and so therefore they're putting themselves in the light of being a medical professional. So anyway, as soon as I told her that, you know, everything was fine, she left me alone. But I have a plan. I always have a strategy, and this is the thing. You have to know what your rights are, and you have to know how to proceed in the event that that you're challenged. And I know exactly what I will do if that ever occurs. I will ask her name, and then I will ask her who the manager is and if she would accompany me to the manager. And if that ever happens, I will ask the manager if they know about the state laws, about the mandates, and about them being unlawful, and if they're familiar with the corporate policy. And, of course, I know what the answer is going to be. The manager's going to say, we sure are. We know what the corporate policy is. You go ahead and shop, and don't worry about us.
Well, John,
I wanted to drive that home. So my concern prompted me to call three of my friends together, business owners. One of the ladies that came together with me, she's lost her business because of this imposition. And so we sat down, and I called our state representative's office in Beaumont, and I explained to him everything that I just declared to you. And very nice gentleman. And I said, I hope that, and I let each one of the people that were sitting there with me give their opinion and give their input as to why we were calling and what we wanted the representative to know and convey to the governor.
Very good. I'm very proud of you, John. I'm not trying to be demeaning in that. I'm so happy that there's people out there that can see this and are taking action. And I think everybody listening can be inspired by you. I hope they're inspired by you. And just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's law, doesn't mean you have to do it. And the more you comply, the more usually bullies, the more you listen to them, the more it empowers them. That's been my experience. So I really applaud you, John, and really thank you for coming on today.
Well, can I say one more thing?
Sure, quickly. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. As liberal as the governor is in California, he's on video. You can pull it up. I'm going to give you a website you can go to, and you can listen to him. The last 2 days of the month, I don't remember what day it was in July, but he stood before a gathering and he declared, I cannot mandate anything. He said, all I can do is ask you, please do social distancing, please wear the mask. And that's the way that all of it should be handled. You can look at what has been done in South Dakota. That governor there has done an exceptional job of taking care of this, and her state, the numbers are down to a minimum of any state in our country. And I'm going to give you this website as I sign off. I urge every person in the listening audience to go to thehealthyamerican.org. And the lady
thehealthyamerican.org. Thehealthyamerican.org, and they can see it. John, thank you so much for your call, buddy. It's inspiring, and people can learn from you and take action like you and be like you. So hey, God bless you, John.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you. Our next guest has gained national fanfare, I would say, and a hero to many people, as she should be. Her name is Erin Marie Olcheski. She is the undercover nurse. Her new book, The Undercover Epicenter Nurse, really exposes her experience, what she did. She's a former military veteran, and she stood up for what she saw, and she lost her job. And I don't say career, because it seems like her career, from being a veteran, being a mother, maybe we'll get into her family situation. Her job is helping people. Her career is helping people, and we're so happy to have her. Erin, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. This is our audience's first time getting to know you, whatever. Just give us a brief Reader's Digest version. Tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing here.
Okay. So my name is Erin Marie Olcheski. I was raised actually in Wisconsin, and I live down in Florida. I joined the military when I was 17 years old, the Army Special Operations. Actually, I was in boot camp, basic training, when September 11th happened. So I immediately essentially went over to Iraq for just over a year, from 2003 to 2004. And so I guess you could say I grew up kind of quickly. After that, after I exited the military, I went into nursing, and I've been doing that for a little over 8 years now. And so I know what it's like to fight for freedom. And I think that we're kind of on domestic territory doing that right now. And, yeah.
Well, you're a nurse, obviously. And so the background is, you're a nurse in Florida. This COVID hit, this emergency, similar to what you were like in the military. 9/11 hit, and you were kind of thrust into the fray. So this COVID thing hit, and you're thrust into the fray. You went to New York. Is that correct? I mean, pick us up there with that story. You went to New York, right? And what happened?
Well, I'll just kind of backtrack just a little bit, but
okay.
Being in Florida, so we were treating our patients a lot different, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I assume that most of the world looking, you know, all eyes were on New York, like, what is really going on? Why are they losing so many people? And so, you know, in Florida, and I'm sure across every other state in the nation, we were preparing for this wave that essentially never ended up hitting us, you know. And so a lot of us were laid off. We didn't have work. And an opportunity presented itself to me to travel to New York, and kind of being the rebel that I am, I took it.
Patriot. We're going to say patriot, Erin. Patriot.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's really hard. I didn't do this for, like, the patriot accolades or hero accolades. I just did it because I'm in the helping profession. Like, I want to help people, and that's why I went to New York. Because it's just my calling. It's been that way since I was a little girl. And I wrote about it, how I got to where I am today, you know, why I am the way I am.
So you went to New York, you go from Florida to New York, and what do you see?
The very first red flag that I had is, you know, I've been.
And so let me back up. So when you say you went to New York, you're directly helping with the patients, with the most infirm. Where are you? And then what, continue? Sorry.
No, it's okay. So I asked my boss and my director at the hospital here in Florida, can I go over there and help them? You know, it doesn't seem like you really need me here. And they're like, go for it. Are you sure? And I said, yes. I hopped on a plane within 2 days, kissed my kids goodbye, And I landed in New York thinking, you know, this is a war zone, right? We're going into war. This is the front lines. All eyes are in New York. And lo and behold, I get taxied over to a 4-star hotel in Times Square, the Marriott Marquis, and we sit around for 3 days with nothing to do. So that was my first red flag. The nurses prior to me getting there were there for 18 days waiting around. Now, you have to remember the company that I went through was being funded through FEMA, and nurses were getting paid. And I'm not saying we didn't work for it, because we did. We were working 12 to 14 hours a day, $10,000 a week. But if you're sitting around for, you know, almost a month making $10,000 a week and not being in these hospitals helping people, that's just a red flag of mismanagement immediately off the bat before I even got into the hospital.
And it may be that the crisis is not as big as they said because, you know, you're here to help and they are not having you help. So maybe. Okay, continue on.
So I ended up getting an assignment at Elmhurst. So it was randomly selected. I just happened to be selected for the epicenter of the epicenter. And that was kind of like, all right, this is my luck. The same type of thing happened when I was in basic training. You know, it was like, that, but I'm like, all right.
Were you scared when you saw Elmhurst? You think, oh geez, did that go through your head?
No, I get excited for that. I don't know. Maybe it's something in me that, you know, like, all right, this is a new mission for me. You know, I can do this.
Let's go do it. Let's go do it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you went?
Yeah. So I went and, you know, it didn't take me a shift 12 hours there to realize that they're doing it way wrong. Way wrong.
In what way?
Cared. The initial treatment for these patients was a ventilator. And I already knew looking, you know, this was, I got there in like early mid-April. So before I got there, there was already like a doctor, Dr. Cameron Kyle Siddell, who went public, he's an ICU doctor, ER doctor, saying that ventilators are not the right treatment. And I studied that. And he said, you know, it's not in the lungs, it's in the blood. We need to be looking at different perspectives and how the treatment. And when I got to Elmhurst, they were just popping everybody on a ventilator, knowing at the time that 100% of patients that were put on a ventilator at Elmhurst by the time I got there had died. Not one person survived.
Okay. When you went to the heart of this, 100% of the people put on the ventilator died. Mm-hmm. Major doctors said this was not a good policy. We've had doctors on say the last thing you want to do when there's pressure on the lungs like this in a situation, a ventilator is like the last thing you want to do, not the first thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is, and this is what made Florida, and I know other states are the same, but from my own experience, and I was working in the emergency room here in Florida, is that our first line of defense was, one, we didn't treat every patient as a COVID patient. We would always test for the flu first. And if that was negative, then we would test for COVID. In New York, everybody was COVID.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Meaning they just, if you're in here and you're sick, you're COVID. That's it.
Yeah. So they didn't treat people as individuals. So anytime in medicine, you look at a patient and you rule out everything, right? You know, you come in with a cough. Could it be, you know, just a virus? Could it be, you know, pneumonia? Could it be allergies?
Allergies. Yeah. Anything.
Anything. Right. And so we would treat the patients as a whole person. In New York, you were COVID. You were probably COVID, regardless, and that was the first line of treatment.
Let me interject. We're hearing stories that the hospitals, for every COVID patient, they got a pretty healthy check from FEMA or the government or somebody. Is that true? Did you see that? It must have been.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, no, that is very true. $13,000 for any patient admitted to the hospitals, regardless if they were COVID or not. So they would either be admitted with a COVID test, or they would be admitted as a quote COVID rule out, which means that they're awaiting their test that we may think that they have COVID. Now, during that time, we had the rapid test. They could have rapidly tested them in the emergency room. They refused to do that, and they instead used the long-term, you know, tests that they send out. So now these patients are sitting in the hospitals for 5 to 10 days, and they would place them in COVID units among other COVID positive patients.
I saw some of your videos where you went through. Yeah. I mean, you correct me where I'm wrong, what you're telling me. Mm-hmm. When the people came in, the hospital is getting $13,000 for every COVID patient, whether it's suspected, whatever. If they're COVID related, they're getting $13,000. Mm-hmm. The people come in, they're immediately funneled into pretty much, you're COVID, that's all there is to it. We're going to give you a test. We could rapid test you so that we can find out pretty much immediately. No, let's do the long test. It's going to take 5 days. Let's put you in this waiting room. Oh, by these other people that are COVID positive, let's mix you all up so that even if you, by the time we get the test, you may be COVID negative. Now you're going to be COVID positive, basically. That's the environment that you're telling. You correct me on any of that.
Well, it wasn't even a waiting room. They would admit them to the hospital in their own hospital room, sometimes with another COVID positive patient in the same room.
In the same room.
Yes.
So we're getting lectured by Governor Cuomo and different politicians about how we can't buy oranges standing next to each other, and there has to be blue circles on the floor in Walmart. But yet, in the hospital, sick people, let's put them right next to each other.
Yeah, and I mean, this was the first day. You know, this was my very first day there that I'm seeing this. And
right from the beginning. Well, welcome to Elmhurst.
Well, you know, and I looked at New York. Oh, sorry.
Don't apologize. There's the music. We'll get on the other side. That's my bad host. I should have warned you, Erin. You're fine. There's the music on the other side. More in this story, and we're going to get into her book, Undercover Epicenter Nurse. She has some facts. We're just going to bullet point right down about COVID that I think you'll be interested to hear. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Power Hour. We'll be right back with Erin.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. Or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Kirkman by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
This video is going to be up on YouTube. We're, you know, trying to get our YouTube videos going. YouTube, they killed our one channel because we had people like Aaron on. We talked about the hydroxy. They cut our videos off. It's crazy, you know, being in this profession or whatever this position. We fight hard for you, ladies and gentlemen, to know the truth, and so is Aaron. The Power Mall, thepowerhour.com, our two website, thepowermall.com, our new product, if you can see here, I'll get close. Doesn't this bottle look good? This new Power Silver, the FDA, different corporations, Whole Foods is now basically de facto banning colloidal silver. So that tells me we need to get the best nano silver. We need the best colloidal silver. And that's what we've done. I have a lot of contacts, as you know. And so the Power Silver at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. Check that out. Among other things, all the vitamins, you know, you want zinc, you need magnesium to help keep you healthy. Zinc, selenium, vitamin D. You want to fortify your body? We'll talk about that with Sherry Rogers at thepowermall.com. Thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. We're talking to Erin Marie Bolcheski, and her new book, Undercover Epicenter Nurse, is, I mean, if you're interested at all what's going on, you're certainly affected by it. I don't know if you're interested in it, but this whole thing is affecting you on many, many levels. This book is essential. This is like essential reading to see the scope of what really goes on at the heart of this controversy, at the heart of this pandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it, what went on at Ground Zero. Erin risked her job, lost her job, so she can tell you the truth. It's very important. We're in New York, your first day, Elmhurst, boom, right in the heart of the heart, red flags going off all over. Supposedly, you don't know if they're healthy patients, non-COVID patients or not, mixed in, same rooms of COVID patients, no masks, no everything. I mean, the whole thing, while we're getting lectured, continue with that story, and then we'll just go forward.
Well, just seeing, I mean, they shut down the United States, and now I'm at the epicenter, and I'm seeing the truth, essentially. And what I'm seeing is a lot of doctors, nurses who just kind of gave up. And the common attitude was, well, they're going to die anyway. And
wow,
that was not okay.
Well, yeah. Once you put them on an incubator, yeah, they will die. Yeah.
I mean, but you can try. You can get patients off of ventilators. I've done it many times in my career.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you're saying it was just COVID was like, it was like it was the Black Plague or something. Oh, I guess they're just going to die anyway. So that was kind of the attitude you're saying.
Well, they would refuse to do CPR because they didn't want to, you know, get these, the patient's error. They were terrified. They kept the IV poles outside of their rooms. They wouldn't even go in to these patients' rooms because they were terrified. Like, you know what? This is not what I signed up for. I signed up for to be a nurse, and I knew the risks I was taking. And if I died doing what I love, then at least I know I did my best, and I knew I stood by what I stand for, and that's patient care. And that, and the ethics and the integrity and everything went out the window during this pandemic for a couple reasons. One, it became a liability-free environment. Nothing good ever comes from a liability-free anything.
Wow.
Two, they didn't allow any family members in with these patients. So now you have no family members, and even on a good day, and we can go back before this pandemic, and I can assure you that many of your listeners right now have stories of their own during a good day in a hospital when they were there with their family members that things weren't going right. Because our healthcare system has been broken for a long time, and I think this COVID really exposed what we need to be working on. So now you have people on ventilators that can't talk. They're essentially in a medically induced coma on way too many sedatives and paralytics with really no treatment. So they were just being paralyzed and sedated until they died.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, a liability-free environment where doctors are, it's just a free-for-all, which essentially was a lot of residents that had just graduated from the book portion of school, and now they were doing their clinical hours where they need to check off skills. So they were using these patients as experiments in practice. And this was literally the first day that I was there that I cannot do this. And I ended up calling up a bunch of my nursing friends, and I hopped on a Zoom call with them and cried. I cried, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And one of them is a nurse practitioner. She made a viral video. She was my proxy, and no one believed her. Like, they called her crazy, you're lying. And when I saw that happening, this was within the first week that I was there, I ended up calling up an attorney in New York that I knew, I've known for a couple of years. And I'm like, listen, this is what's happening. No one's going to believe me. They don't believe Sarah. And what can we do? And he's the one that ended up, you know, we ended up coming up with a plan, because I did try to go up the chain of command, but you were silenced. You were told that if you continue causing, you know, being a problem nurse, then you're going to go and, you know, stop asking questions.
So what'd you do? So what did you, is that when you did the videos? You said, okay, fine, we'll just do the videos. We'll show people. You don't believe me? I'll show you.
Yeah. Because it is so absolutely disgusting. And it's against everything that our healthcare profession stands for, that without video, there's absolutely no way that anyone would ever believe it. And you know what? Even with video, they still don't believe it.
I'm aghast. I mean, I've heard these rumors. Mm-hmm. I've heard your story tell a little bit, but not in this detail. I'm aghast listening to you. I don't even know what to say. I'm like, I don't know how we have any confidence in the people making these medical decisions on the front line. After what you tell me, what do you feel about this? What do you, now that you've had some time to maybe digest this, what do you think about the whole situation?
I think that people in my profession, I feel that they became numb to what was going on. They became afraid.
Something, yeah.
They became order followers, and the order followers are the problem, because they didn't ever question unethical orders. And these orders, you know, when I would ask, like, who do I talk to about this? Oh, you know, that's the higher authority. Well, who is this higher authority? And nobody ever had answers. So, in my opinion, it's the administration taking orders from the governor. So the governor Cuomo is not a medical professional, making decisions without having boots on the ground, without ever having even been around a COVID patient. And it's causing
distress. And making a political decision. He's not making a medical decision at that point. He's making a political decision.
He ordered 30,000 ventilators in March. And guess what he didn't do? He didn't order people to run those ventilators. That's like ordering 30,000 cars and just like asking 12-year-olds to drive them around. We're going to have accidents all over the place.
We're hearing about hydroxychloroquine. We're hearing about hydroxychloroquine and zinc. Fantastic results. Mm-hmm. Even if you use it, you know, before you get sick, it's helping you not get it. I haven't heard about that anywhere. Governor Cuomo makes fun of it like he knows. Where was hydroxy in New York? Non-existent?
So that was banned too. And that's one thing because we were
banned. Banned? Yeah. Hold on. Banned.
Yeah.
By who? By whose order?
The governor's orders. That was his executive order in March. He banned the hydroxychloroquine for off-label use. So get this. This is what's very interesting that a lot of people don't know. So he also, in that same executive order, he created a liability-free environment. Unless a doctor prescribed the hydroxychloroquine off-label use, aka treated COVID, then they could lose their license and they would lose their job. That's
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. You just told me an executive order. He gave everybody a free pass of doctors. No matter what you do, this is an extreme measure. Do whatever you're doing. There's no liability for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can put them on ventilators and basically kill them. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to come back on you. But God forbid you should use a drug that's been around 70 years and that people in foreign countries are using with great success, even other parts of the country, even Florida. I think you had seen some people with success. If you do that, your license may be up. That's what you just told me.
Yeah, that's exactly the truth. Yes.
I mean, is this murder?
Well, it is murder. And, you know, that's why I took it upon myself. Because if I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? And every single nurse that I was working with there agreed with me. But everybody is terrified of saying anything because the backlash that we get for speaking out against a very broken, very rich, powerful system. You know, I'm just a mom of three kids. You know, I'm coming to you from my kitchen right now. I don't have the money that these big, powerful governments have, but you know what I do have? I have ethics, integrity, and I got the truth on my side. And that's what they're terrified of.
Wow. Okay. Have you heard the stories about the doctors coming out about the hydroxy and they're telling their stories or say, why is nobody listening? Mm-hmm. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, they've contacted me. We're in touch too.
Okay. I think one of the doctors, I think Stella Emanuel, I think we're going to get her on an interview. But we put these videos up, they get taken down immediately. I mean, this isn't just Governor Cuomo, that demon sitting in New York. You know, this is so big when you talk about this level of censorship. They don't want you to know this and they want to put us, and you're seeing Denmark, Sweden. They didn't mask anybody. They didn't quarantine anybody and their results are much better than the United States. Much better. Last thought on this I want to get into your book on some of these facts, but just overall, your last thought on any of this.
There should never be a time that the government interferes between the doctor-patient relationship. There should never be a time that profit is put over patients, and there should never be a time that politics is ever put over patients.
Is that naive to want that? Is that too much to ask in America?
That's a human right. And that,
you think?
You know what? I'm really sad that a lot more nurses and doctors haven't come forward. Obviously it's fear, but you know what? We got to stand together because at the end of the day, people are not disposable and they're focusing on Medicare, Medicaid, lower income populations, minorities, and everybody in this entire world deserves a fighting chance and they deserve the same exact equal care.
Okay, I'm going to get to your book, Undercover Epicenter Nurse. But before I do, we only got about 12 minutes. I hope that you come back soon. I hope that you come back.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope that you come back like in 2 or 3 weeks so okay. that we can go into this. I want to mention the people. I didn't know if we were going to go there or not. You've been very open with this. You're the mother of a vaccine-damaged child.
Yes.
And we keep talking about these mandates, and you even mentioned, you know, during the break about John, the caller at the beginning, John, great call, John, about Governor Newsom say he can't mandate anything. And I saw you, that look in your eye, you're like, what do you mean he can't mandate? He's already mandating vaccines. Talk a little bit about the fervor and the force of the pressure from mothers like yourself, and what's it like dealing in the, you know, just the whole thing. When people and doctors tell you, oh, vaccines don't hurt people. Vaccines don't cause autism. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are tested. Just shut up and sit there and let us do what we want you to do. And just anything that you want to comment on.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. You know, going through nursing school, vaccines save lives. Vaccines are the holy, you know, grail of health. And until my son, at 12 months old, you know, he received the MMR. I spaced them out because I thought that was the, you know, I felt safer doing that. But he essentially.
So as a nurse, so let me, yeah. So you space them out. So there was some trepidation in your mind. You thought, okay, I'll just, I mean, that thought came into your mind somewhere.
Yeah, I never felt comfortable. I'm like, man, that seems like a lot. You know, I don't know. Seems like a lot. And he was very colic, which now I know was encephalitis. So it was his brain swelling. And this was from the toxins of the, you know, vaccines at birth, which essentially removed baseline. So I never knew what my kid really was from the very beginning, because the very first day of birth, the second day, they give him the Hep B.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, he was very colicky. But now I know that colic was, you know, he was suffering. And they had me change my diet. It was never that. And then every vaccine he would get kind of more colicky. So that's when I'm like, yeah, maybe it's, you know, space him out. The thought crossed my mind, but I never knew, because I was taught in nursing school, this is what you do. And that's what I did. I had vaccine clinics in nursing. You know, I would do flu clinics. You know, I was very pro-vax until it happened to me. And then at 12 months, he completely regressed. He stopped walking, stopped talking. He was essentially just kind of a ghost. And we had to have a lot of therapeutics. You know, we had speech therapists, physical therapists, everything kind of work with him. And that's when I started researching, because I had a friend reach out, listen, this happened to me too. And I didn't realize that the vaccine manufacturers were liability free.
Sounds like COVID in New York.
Yeah, and that's what it said. Nothing good comes from a liability-free environment. So when I found that out, you know, because, like, I'm 37. I always forget, but I'm 37. you know, I got maybe 10 vaccines by the time I was 18. Our kids right now are getting anywhere from 70 to 74 vaccines by the time they're 18. So when that act passed, it was the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, they exploded, because now these vaccine manufacturers are no longer liable if something happens to our children. We can go to court, but it's more or less a kangaroo court, and they give you the runaround. You need a lot of money to be able to fight the government. So, yeah.
Well, through your experience, we're starting to hear things like the overall good is worth the risk. You know, this new vaccine that's going to come out, I guess, this COVID vaccine. They've never made an RNA vaccine, but I get, you know, they say they're going to. The good outweighs the risk. Just take it, just shut up, and you have to take it for the good of everybody. When you hear that as your situation, mother, I think I would be irate. What goes through your mind?
Well, I looked into that, and they also, and this was the small piece of information that they haven't told the general public, is that those vaccine manufacturers have been made liability free as well. So any adults or any children that are getting this vaccine, good luck if you get injured or killed, because they're not going to be liable. And this, I mean, not that they use the gold standard in testing anyway, like our childhood vaccines are not tested against an inert saline placebo. They tested against another vaccine. That's what they're doing with the COVID-19. They're testing it right now against the meningitis vaccine. So they're not testing it against, and the gold standard of testing.
Let me clear that for people listening. This is extremely important. You hear the word. I hear the words from people. It is safe and effective. It is one of the most tested things. Please show me the study where vaccines have been tested against inert placebo, against saline, where to compare what the reactions are. Please show that to me, because the first time you show it to me will be the first time it exists. Mm-hmm. It does not exist, ladies and gentlemen. And they keep telling you, oh, it's safe and effective, and they'll do it. It's a relative safe vaccine. Anyway, continue on.
Yeah. So they have skipped that, which they do anyway, but they've also skipped the animal trials. So they're going right to the Avengers, which is the super healthy people, right? They're going to test the volunteers that are super healthy, and they're getting paid money to do this, which God bless their souls. But then they're going to now go to the third phase, which is another test, which is the healthcare professionals, and they're going to the minority groups.
That makes no sense to me. Why do they pick out the minority? That's just really odd, isn't it?
Medicare, Medicaid, they can be monitored by the government. The low income population.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they threaten them with keeping their insurance benefits. So.
Whoa. What you just said, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to be able to mandate, but it's not like they're going to say, okay, everybody in America, you're getting the vaccine. I don't think they're going to say that, one, because people like you, people like me, I mean, there's no way in hell I'm getting that. They can come here whatever they want. As long as I'm not getting it. That's just all there is to it. I think you probably feel similar, but they're going to go on the fringe.
Look at the masks, though. Look at the airlines. They're not even letting disabled children onto airlines that cannot wear masks, and they're discriminating against.
I saw that.
The same thing is going to happen with the vaccines. This is a test, people, you know, and the only way to be able to combat these draconian unconstitutional mandates, even though they call them say they're not mandates, they are. And then now they're turning, people against each other, is civil disobedience, to say no, you know, this is unconstitutional. Like, at the end of the day, we're the home of the free because of the brave, and we have to be brave.
Does it concern you that America seems to be losing that bravery? They just seem to be compliant? Because that's what I see. That bothers me a little. Like, people like John, we need more people like John. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, it is concerning, especially, you know, my fellow veterans. You know, I know a lot of the veterans, soldiers that I served with are pretty upset, but people are afraid to use their voices. But eventually, and I never want to see it get to that point, but we're going to have to say no one of these days. And I hope that, you know, even if my small voice can be some sort of catalyst to create, you know, many more voices saying no and asking for the science and asking for the reasoning and asking why the government is interfering with, you know, doctor-patient relationships and the American Disabilities Act. I mean, multiple things, our Constitution. What do we have that for this?
Your military, the Bill of Rights, what does that mean to you? Because I think that's the solution, the Bill of Rights.
I mean, we have a right to autonomy. We can say no. And you know, they're starting to use police force. I don't know. I mean, look at Australia right now. They have them on lockdown. They can exercise 1 hour a day. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Is that what we're going to become? No.
I've heard people say about this mask, well, it's just simple. It's polite. I could just do it. It's no big deal. And in my mind, I cringe when I hear that, because they're using our good nature against us. My question to people is, well, if you don't say no about this mask and you take a stand about this when it's relatively safe, I mean, you know, at Walmart, there's relatively little danger of you for you to make a scene at Walmart. What are you going to do when there's things like vaccines, when you're actually talking about penetrating your skin now? Is that when you're going to stand up? You want to stand up then? Why don't you stand up now? That's my feeling. Your thoughts on any of that?
Well, I've been fighting mandatory vaccinations for children for quite some time. They did it in New York. They did it in California. They're doing it, and they did it in Washington. They did it in New Jersey. But we were consistently warning people that, listen, they're coming for adults next, you know, and no one believed us. But guess what? It's on its way.
What have you seen? As you've been part, I think that group of people is bigger than people realize, mm-hmm. and it's more powerful. And you're convicted. When you're convicted, you're willing to get out there, and you're immune to resistance. I don't think anybody can ever tell you that vaccines didn't hurt your child, can they?
No, I know my child.
Right.
That's what I would tell my patients at work too. I'd be like, you know what? I don't have a right to tell you how you feel. You're the only one that has lived in your body your entire life. You tell me how you feel. And that is where healthcare and our government has been lost in translation. They forgot that people know their bodies more than anyone else. And you know what? Mothers and fathers know their children more than anyone else. And we stopped listening. And that's what we need to do, is start listening to each other, start working together, and start cherishing the freedom that everybody deserves in the United States. I mean, there's nothing greater to fight for than our future generations and our children and our grandchildren.
Wow. We got about a minute. I need you on here for about 3 hours. I mean, I can talk to you literally about 3 hours. You got to come on soon. Undercover Epicenter Nurse is the book. Where can people get this book?
You can find it anywhere. Amazon, Target, Walmart, Barnes & Noble. So, yeah, I wrote a lot about my life, how I got there, and what I experienced. And there will be a number two.
We'll have you on here in about maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Sure. That'd
be cool.
Yeah.
I'd love it. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Power Hour More with Sherry Rogers on the other side. Stay right there. Stay right there, Erin.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.